Is that working? Well, if that's working, then I'll throw my stuff on the floor here. Well, I'd like to greet each of you in the name of our loving Savior, Jesus Christ. I'm happy to be here today. What song are we just singing? What was the number? Let's do that again. 276. I was just noticing the words and the things that the Lord has put on my heart today. There is a place of quiet rest near to the heart of God, a place where sin cannot molest near to the heart of God. Because I really want to preach today about a moment that occurs to us over and over and over. That moment when we are truly challenged. That moment when we are what? We are insulted. We are disrespected. We are whatever it is that where evil starts to encroach on you and deceive your mind, to turn your heart about from where it's supposed to be. And so you want to respond to that situation. You want to respond to the world just like it treated you. That's the moment I want to spend a few moments thinking about. Probably the theme of that moment comes from the last verse of the 12th chapter of Romans. Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. That is a challenge. That's hard. In that moment that evil encroaches upon your heart, upon your mind, upon your thinking, it's hard not to be deceived and make the world your teacher and not God. So with that in mind, let's go someplace else, because this is where it all hangs. This is Matthew, the 22nd chapter. By the way, I'm not bringing anything new today. This is all the stuff we basically all know. It's just seems like it doesn't matter in a way. We're always challenged every time we have to face those moments. Matthew 22, I'm going to start with verse 36 and read through 40. Master, which is the great commandment in the law? Jesus said unto him, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is likened to it, Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophet. And it's kind of neat, because if you want to look up scriptures to support these two great commandments, you can't turn a wrong place in the Bible and Book of Mormon, because it all hangs on those two great commandments. There is an incredible harmony in God's word. Let's go over now and get a little more complete picture of that first verse I gave you, which was the 21st verse. It's the last verse, the 12th chapter of Romans. Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. And I'm kind of, to keep it moving, I'm going to kind of skip through this just to emphasize some key verses here. I think that when evil encroaches upon us, begins to want to push aside that love of God and respond according as the world treated you, we have to be humble. That's one of the key things that makes it harder. When When you are disrespected, it's pride in you that wants to respond. Think about that. Soak it in. It's pride that wants to make you respond the way they treated you. We have this internal sense as just a human being, this sense of justice. And when somebody treats you in a certain way, the justice in you wants you, they deserve to be treated the way they treated me, Oh no. Oh no. Verse 1, chapter 12. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is a reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. I can't give a better example of doing away with that pride than to be able to give yourself as a sacrifice. All those human feelings, all that injury that you feel when you're confronted by evil, don't give it back. It was pride that was injured. Don't have pride. Don't be conformed to the world. Be transformed by that incredible, powerful love of God. Let it remain in you and don't be distracted. Those moments are hard. We immediately get distracted. And now I'm going to read the ninth verse. Let love be without dissimulation. Dissimulation means hypocrisy. You want love that's real, that's powerful. You want love, this pure love of God is not fragile. It is powerful. And when we realize that the love in us is fragile, keep working. Keep hanging on to Him. Keep getting closer, because this pure love of God is not fragile. Let love be without dissimulation, without hypocrisy. Abhor that which is evil, cleave to that which is good. And then I'm going to skip on through. Verse 17 goes back and says a little bit what the second verse said. Verse 17, recompense to no man evil for evil. Provide things honest in the sight of all men. If it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. So that, see, that wasn't ours. God takes care of those things. All those little things in you, and you've got to carry out the justice. Nope. It's not yours. It's His. Be not overcome of evil. Verse 21. Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. Now I'm turning over to Moroni 7. You knew I had to go there. Moroni 7, page 768, if you're following along in your Book of Mormons. It's right at the end of chapter 7 of the Book of Moroni. I'm going to start with verse 50. If a man be meek and lowly in heart, and confesses by the power of the Holy Ghost that Jesus is the Christ, he must needs have charity. For if he have not charity, he is nothing. Wherefore he must needs have charity. And this charity is defined further on down in this reading. We'll get to it. But it says it's the pure love of Christ. That's what this love is that it's talking about. And my only worry in just using the word love is that in the world that we live in, we are peppered by definitions of love that aren't talking about this pure love of Christ. And in those moments, when we're hurt, when we're encroached on, when evil presents itself, understand that that battle is between you and the deceiver. It's something that's going on inside of you. And I read a good statement. I thought it was really the truth. It talked about grace. And it just said that you're beginning to understand grace. Again, think about these moments that encroach upon us. You're beginning to understand grace when you understand that the way people treat you is more based on their internal struggles and less about you. We don't need to be injuring them back to defend ourselves. They actually need what you're supposed to have inside of you. They need that reflection of the great love of God. And the second is likened to it. Love your neighbor as yourself. So now we understand this charity, this word charity, we're talking about the word love. But we're talking about that love which is greatest, that great love of Jesus Christ. 51, verse 51. And charity suffereth long and is kind and envieth not, is not puffed up, it's not full of pride. Seeketh not her own. It's not trying to improve your own stature. It's actually with that touch of grace, giving them love, giving them a reflection of the example that Jesus gave us, giving back love, not the cold pricklies they just gave you. Is not easily provoked. Is not easily provoked. Thinketh no evil and rejoiceth not in iniquity. I think about this, thinketh no evil. And I have watched sometimes, even within the church, a couple of people talk, and one will say something, or they'll make a point, and the other person strongly responds because they know where you're going with that thought, and they are going to cut it off right now, set you straight. And the person who originally spoke doesn't get a chance to talk anymore. They're being bombarded by an age-old defense, a line of scripture, a traditional thought that's within us sometimes, and we're going to pound out what they thought you were going to end up saying before you even get to say it. I've just watched it. And I don't mean it as an accusation. I'm meaning it as something to consider. that when you are challenged by these moments, when a deception that's not loving, a manner of speech that's not kind, begins to, when you feel that happen in your heart, stop it. You are better silent than you are speaking out, not possessed of that love. And when I say possessed, it says all of your heart, all your might, all your soul. So anytime you feel different, it's because you're not possessed of it. Because you're beginning to turn about and serve the deceiver. Rejoiceth not in iniquity. You know, and there's another place in the Book of Mormon where it says, you know, there's another deceiving thought. If I can just respond in the way they deserve, I'm going to be happy. I'm going to feel so much better. It's going to fulfill something. But it says, wickedness was never happiness. That's a deception. Wickedness was never happiness. Don't go there. Don't go that way. That's not who your teacher is. Your teacher is God's Word, Jesus Christ. Rejoice in the truth, beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. Those moments are things we have to endure. We can't respond in kind. We endure it. Endureth all things. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, if ye have not charity, ye are nothing. For charity never faileth. So consider that moment when you turn and you respond in kind. You might as well have been silent. It would have been better. Because without charity, you are nothing. You are nothing. Wherefore, cleave unto charity, which is the greatest of all. For all things must fail, but charity is the pure love of Christ, and it endureth forever. It endureth forever. The love of God is not fragile. And if the love within you is, keep working. It's powerful. It is not fragile. But charity is the pure love of Christ, and it endureth forever. And whoso is found possessed of it at the last day, it shall be well with them. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, pray unto the Father. Man, this is just something you could have up on a plaque on your wall. Start every day with this. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, pray unto the Father with all the energy of heart, that ye may be filled with this love, which he hath bestowed upon all who are true followers of his Son, Jesus Christ, that we may become the sons of God, that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is, that we may have this hope, that we may be purified, even as he is pure. I want to go now, considering something that we read in Romans, that 12th chapter. It talks about, in that second verse, it says, and be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. And that's what we want in that hard moment. We want to prove to be following God's will. We want to be a perfect representation of what He wants the outcome of that confrontation or whatever it is to be. The renewing of your mind. Let's go to the work. It's just a couple examples of the work that God does on you when you really, really love Him. I'm going to go to Psalm 23. This is when we depend on God. Psalm 23, starting with the first verse. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. You know, the Lord, He is my shepherd, and I shouldn't follow anybody else. I shouldn't follow the example of the world. I don't want to be conformed to its ways. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. And I think of the times when I'm confronted with evil, that's what I need in my heart. I need to feel those still waters. I need to not be quick to become angry. I need to lie down in green pastures. I need some kind of a peace that only God gives to be the guider of my heart, to know how to really respond. I haven't said something yet. Let me say this. Also, let me know if I should respond. Sometimes we don't consider that. Sometimes we need to be silent. But I think through His Holy Spirit, we can know when those times are too. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters, and He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for Thou art with me. Thy rod and Thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. See, it's in that moment that He can set you down in green pastures, lead you by the still waters, restore your soul. He prepares a table before us in the presence of our enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. That's the work that the Lord does on you when you are loving Him with everything in you, your entire soul, your heart, your might, everything, your mind. And I'll go to Alma, the third chapter. This is just another place, just another example. Both books are completely full of these. I know you've heard me read this before. I love it. This is on page 314. Chapter 3, the book of Alma. Verse 11. I'll read 11 and 12 here. Behold, he changed their hearts. Yea, he awakened them out of a deep sleep, and they awoke unto God. That's what we need in those moments, to be awakened to God. Have him be our entire focus. Verse 17. I say unto you, yea, they are loosed. And their souls did expand, and they did sing redeeming love. That's what we need to show back in those moments. Verse 27. I'm going to read through 29. And now behold, I ask of you, my brethren of the church, have ye spiritually been born of God? Have ye received his image in your countenances? Have you experienced this mighty change in your hearts? And I think of that possibility, and I know it's beyond a possibility. It's what he expects and wants out of each one of us, that his image, as it says back in the seventh chapter of Moroni, that his that when he appears, we will be like him. His image will be graven upon our countenance because we have had this mighty change of heart. That change of heart that, you know, maybe you guys, maybe it's not so hard for you, but for me, I do struggle against these things. When somebody gets up in my face, I want to respond like they deserve. And I need this sermon. I hope it does you some good too. Mighty change of heart. I think about what are your confrontations? What are these things that maybe they have some history behind them? All of us have our sensitivities. It's saw a cartoon one time, and there was a counselor sitting, and he was doing couples counseling for these two robots. And the robots were sitting there in the chairs, and they had buttons all over them. And the counselor just said, you know, I don't know what all the problems are yet, but apparently both of you are very good at pushing each other's buttons. That really is a pretty good picture of all of us. There are certain things that are very sensitive to us. And it's like, boom, how did they know the target so well? Man, I'm upset, you know. And it happens to all of us, and for a variety of reasons. I know that I heard a sermon, and I can't remember exactly what the words were offered, but one of the things that they were seemed to be saying was, you know, when you come to church, place of safety. We're not supposed to be at battle here. It should be a place where we can be together in love and comfort one another and strengthen one another. But sometimes it doesn't happen just that way. And who are you? Where do you fit in this whole picture as I look at every bench? Everybody's got a story. I know if you're young and suddenly, for some reason, whatever's on the adult's heart, they come and they get up in your face, and you're going, what did I do? I didn't do nothing. And so, what's going on in your heart at that moment? Well, you kind of want to respond the way you were treated You want to give them what they deserve. And I'll tell you, you know, I'll confess, I'm an adult. At least my wife may argue some, but I just turned 67, so I'm thinking I got a right to say I've got some adulthood in me at least. And sometimes we don't give the right example. Don't turn a corner because I did wrong. Don't respond wrong. Don't let love be, the love of God be fragile in you. It must be strong. It must be able to handle these things because we truly are a room full of human beings. We are. Hug each other in that. Hugging is physical, but hugging is also spiritual. We do it on phone church. So many things can challenge us. It can happen by something somebody says and they don't even know it. They didn't have any ill intent, and yet the way it pushed your button in Sunday school, you'll respond, you know. They're on it again, you know. No. And it's sticking out there and it's easy to push. We're responsible for what happens when people push our buttons, not them. I've talked to people that I think, you know, it seemed like deep in their heart they wanted to be baptized. I had a person actually ask me to baptize them. But what they were struggling with was that there was somebody they didn't have a lot of respect for, somebody who confronted them constantly and was pushing and pushing. And they felt like, you know, if I get baptized, they're going to be satisfied. And I don't want to do that. You know, these things happen in us. What is it? Well, I believe that we have a deceiver. We have an accuser that knows every one of your buttons and knows how to push them, knows how to get somebody else to push them. The devil knows where those are. So don't be shocked. Don't be surprised. There's an armor we're supposed to have, and it comes completely out of this love, this great love that you have for your Heavenly Father and for all those around you. It's in Ephesians, the 6th chapter. And I'm not going to necessarily read all that to you. I'm just going to refer to it. Ephesians, 6th chapter, Ephesians. It's talking about putting on the whole armor of God. And when you do, what is that armor? It's all out of love, His love. It's about truth and righteousness, which righteousness, this has to do with, you know, that when we get up in the morning, our goal is not at some point to reflect God's, that great love of God that's within us. It's that prayer, that goal is to roll out and put your feet on the floor and walk through that day possessed of the love of God. That's what we want. Righteousness is the walk that comes when we are possessed of God's love. Faith, salvation, His word, which it says is that's the sword of the Spirit, His precious word. Prayer. And it says the preparation, and I think that this is important, and it's the reason we come out of the world for a moment, is to kind of prepare for those moments. To get set up in advance to face those hard moments when evil encroaches. The preparation of the gospel of peace, it calls it. We're supposed to be shod with that. That's the shoes we have on, so that when we start to move, to walk through our day, that is the preparation that is within us. And it's all this whole armor of God illustrates the love of God that's in you. And so I don't really need to talk a whole lot more. I feel like I've really said it. I think that what we learn, though, out of it comes from practice. It comes from this righteousness. It's when you exercise your faith by responding in the correct way, by not letting the world be your teacher. Let the love of God within you, God's Holy Spirit teaching you, that's your teacher. That is your teacher. That sword of the Spirit, the Word of God. Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. The love of God is not fragile.